Amen. Hallelujah. You all may be seated here in the house of God. Worship team, you may be seated as well. Thank you for the awesome job in ushering us into the presence of God this morning. Amen. But once again, I'd like to thank everybody for joining us here at Victory Outreach Milwaukee. I just want to make mention, I forgot to announce also after service, 1 p.m., we're going to be hitting the streets. Amen. We want to continue to go out there and spread the good news. So 1 p.m., we'll be meeting out in front of the church. If you want to come and join us to hit the streets and witness and share our testimony with others, you are more than welcome to do so. Praise the Lord. I know many of you are wondering, where is Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene? Well, they are out there in Minnesota handling God's business. They have an event, Unites, taking place with all the pastors in our region. They came together out there in Victory Outreach, Minnesota, out there with Pastor Ray and Sister Tricia, and they're out there receiving the word from Pastor Nick Walker. So if you want to know, they're out there in Minnesota. They will be back with us tomorrow. So keep them in your prayers. And also, this is our first Sunday morning service without our good friend Pastor Felipe and Sister Lily as well. Now, they're out there in Jacksonville right now also handling God's business. So it's a good thing. It gives us opportunity to rise up and to continue to move forward the vision of Victory Outreach Milwaukee. Praise the Lord. Some of you may not have been here Friday. You may not was able to log on Friday. Just a little recap. I just spoke about, you know, having the peace of God, you know, during hard times. And I encourage the word to let us know that we could be suffering in our walk and still have the peace of God. You know, just because we're going through a hard time, it doesn't mean that God is not still on the throne. He's not still on the move. So I was just speaking about having peace, you know, during hard times, because there are going to be hard times that we're going to face in our walk with God. And as Christians, we got to learn how to serve God, not just in the good times, but also in the bad times as well. So just a little recap on that. And if you take a note this morning, I titled this message, Perseverance Pays Off. Going to be speaking about trouble again. Some of you are like, man, that's not encouraging. I didn't come to hear that. But I want us to understand the importance of moving forward when times get hard, you know. A lot of times we think because things going on that it means that we're in sin or something wrong on our part, but that's not always the case. And we're going to learn from the book of Job, the man of God, the Bible said, who was blameless, and he went through a lot of trouble. But I want us to understand perseverance pays off. If we press in and continue to move forward, if we don't allow what's taking place to stop us from serving God, it will eventually pay off. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this time, and I thank you for the honor and privilege to share the gospel this morning. And I just pray you open up our hearts, open up our minds, let our ears be attentive to what the Spirit has to say this morning. I pray you help us to develop this gift of perseverance, my God. When times get hard, we'll continue to move forward no matter what's taking place, Lord. God, I pray you sit me to the side, and I pray that you move in a mighty and powerful way. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And the church of God says, perseverance pays off. That word perseverance means the following. Persistence in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. See, when it comes to serving God, there is success for us. A renewed mind, a blessed life, restored relationships. And within that, things are going to take place. Bad things is going to happen at times, whether big or small. And we have to learn how to continue to do this, to continue to serve God, despite difficulty that we may face within our lives. And as Christians, we are going to be faced with all kinds of trouble, like I just mentioned. And trouble comes in many forms. See, we're not new to this. BC, before Christ, we was faced with a lot of trouble in our lives. Some of us was faced with jail time in front of a judge, get ready to slam a gravel down and give you 20 years. Some of us was faced with ODing off of drugs. Some of us was faced with financial problems. The list goes on and on. And we dealt with those problems. We kept moving forward in darkness. It didn't stop us. I know it didn't stop me. I had a lot of trouble taking place in my life, and I was persistent in moving forward in darkness to be cursed, the curse of the enemy. So we know what it means to move forward when times get hard. Now we got to learn how to continue to do that in Christ Jesus. See, when times get hard, Satan a lot of times wants to use whatever he's going through to mess with our mind in the way that we think. See, because he knows that if he could get a hold of our mindset and get us to believe what's going on in our lives is bigger than the God we serve, he will have control of our lives. That's why it's very important that we change the thinking pattern on a daily basis. See, a lot of times, I can say it for myself, when trouble comes our way, it could mess the way we think. You know, at times, we could think that God is not on the move, or we could think that we may be doing something wrong in our lives. It can mess with our mind, and it can hinder us from being effective in our walk with God. And we got to really understand that when it comes to trouble, as we're going to learn from the book of Job, that God is still a great and awesome God. It doesn't mean that he changed, because the Bible says that he's not a God that changes. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. There are facts, statistics that states when trouble comes our way, it affects the way we think, and it also affects our decision-making. I was looking up statistics, and I was looking at things like people was doing during the COVID-19 virus, how a lot of people were saying that it was affecting their decision-making. It altered a lot of things in their life, and a lot of people were making the wrong decisions because of the virus. And we got to understand that trouble is not the end of the world. If we learn the mindset of God, and when trouble comes, we are able to make the right decisions. I really believe if we learn how to think and see trouble in a different way, I really believe when trouble comes our way, we'll be able to respond in the right way. And we're going to read that in the book of Job. This is a powerful book. If you haven't read it, I want to encourage you to do that on your spare time. See, this book is a very interesting book, because I'm getting a little ahead of the message, but in the book of Job, it speaks about a man that was in the right standards with God. See, a lot of times when we hear about trouble and things taking place, we think that a lot of times there's sin in the camp and there's bad taking place. But in the book of Job, it's a different story. He was right with God. You know, the Bible said he was blameless. He wasn't in sin. He wasn't dimly dabbling, but yet he faced a lot of trouble in his life. And what I want us to learn from today's message is that if trouble is taking place in your life, our best decision is to continue to move forward in our walk with God. Can I get a loud amen this morning, church? But if we don't change the way we think and we don't allow God to change our perspective, a lot of times when trouble comes, we're going to make the wrong moves. A lot of people, instead of coming to church, they do the opposite. See, the COVID-19 virus took out a lot of people. A lot of people, they're afraid to come to church. And I believe a lot of that is due to the way that they think. Now, man, we was in the streets a while back, and I was inviting a guy to church. He said, "Oh, no, man, I'm going to stay home where it's safe at, and I don't want to go out and be around a lot of people because of what's going on. I want to stay clean." And I realized the cleanest place to be is in the house of God. He was in fear, but it was due to a mindset that he had, a wrong way of thinking. And the enemy understand that. A lot of people, even Christians, are still not coming to church because of wrong way of thinking. When the Bible tells us that we should not forsake the assembly of the believers. In other words, we should not forsake coming into the house of God to worship, to fellowship, to receive God's word. But a lot of times, if the mind is not in line with God's word, we're going to be led in the wrong direction. And we know in the world we live in today, there's always going to be trouble. I was just reading the news yesterday, and there was a mass shooting that took place, you know. Like 17 people got shot. Then I think like the day before, like 5 other people got shot, you know. And I said, man, this just showed me that we need to be continuing to pray for our city. And a lot of people hear that news, and they get afraid. You know, they get to thinking that the devil is in control. And it's trouble, yeah, but at the same time, I know that's something that God could use to win over someone that's lost and bound. We got to really understand trouble through the mind of God. Because, see, God created the trouble. He allowed the enemy to bring the trouble into this world for a reason. And just like we're going to learn, he allowed the enemy to bring trouble into the life of Job as well. See, we serve an all-knowing God. See, God knows what he's doing. But we got to do our part and trust that he knows what he's doing, even when times get hard. And I believe when we gain a godly understanding of trouble and how things work in God's way, I believe we are able to endure those times in the right way. See, we got to be people that determine in advance that no matter what, we're going to move forward and we're going to continue to build the kingdom of God. There is a vision that God wants to fulfill within Victory Outreach Milwaukee. Do we believe that this morning, church? And if that's going to be fulfilled, we got to continue to move forward. Because the enemy wants to do anything he can to stop you and I from advancing the kingdom of God through Victory Outreach Milwaukee. That's why we got to be determined, just like Job, to continue to worship God, to continue to witness, to continue to serve God, no matter what's taking place. We're going to learn from Job. Like I mentioned, a man that was blameless, that feared God, how to respond in the right way. There are some valuable things that we could learn from this book. And I believe if we grab a hold of these nuggets and apply it to our life, we'll be able to respond when trouble comes in the right way. Open the scripture, Job chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. If you don't have a Bible, the scripture will be on the screens before you. Class is in session. It's time to focus to be dialed in this morning. If you're tired, shake it off. Right now, class is in session. We should be focused and taking notes. Amen, because God wants to give us a timely word. Let's be teachable. You could be saved 30 years and still learn. Let's be open to what God has in store for his church this morning. Because too many Christians are making the wrong moves when times get hard. But we shouting hallelujah. We got pastors back when times are good. But when times get hard, we don't know God. We don't come to church. We stop giving. And that's we shouldn't be doing that. Because see, Job going to prove to you and I this morning that God is an awesome God. He continued to serve God. And he went through a lot of trouble. Not just simple stuff. He lost loved ones. He lost wealth. He lost his health. But he continued to move forward with God. So let's receive the word of God this morning. Job chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. The Bible reads, "There once was a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil." So he was a man who was right before the Lord. He didn't dibble and dabble in sin. So keep that in mind. Verse 2, "He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants as well. He was, in fact, the richest person in that entire area." Verse 4, "Job's sons would take turns preparing feasts in their homes, and they would also invite their 3 sisters to celebrate with them. When these celebrations ended, sometimes after several days, Job would purify his children. He would get up early in the morning and offer a burnt offering for each of them. For Job said to himself, 'Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' This was Job's regular practice." Now, I believe in this opening scripture, God has set the stage for you and I to learn a different way of thinking when it comes to troubles that we face with God. Now, see, this man, the Bible says, he was blameless. He was in right standards with God. And when I first read this story years ago, it blew my mind. Because I didn't understand how God operated at the time like that. Like, how can God allow trouble to come into a life of someone that's blameless? But as we're going to learn this morning, God allowed it to happen for many reasons. One of the reasons is because he wanted to teach the generation that go after Job how to respond to tough times, even when we are not in the wrong. And also, God wants us to learn who's really in control. Amen. We're going to find out in a second who's in control. Now, he feared God, like the Bible said, and he stayed away from evil. It didn't make any sense to me when I first read this years ago. Like, I thought trouble only comes to those who are doing wrong and dibbling, dabbling in sin, but that's not the case. Because, see, God wants to grow us as a church. He wants to grow us as an individual, and he can't grow us if there's nothing going on in our lives, see? God is able to use tough times to pull things from our lives, to change our mentality, to win someone over in so many things. That's why it's very important that we respond in the right way. Let's continue to read. Same chapter, Job chapter 1. Let's read now verses 12 all the way down to verse 22. Because now we're going to learn who's in control. The Bible reads, "All right, you may test them." This earlier in that portion of the scripture, the Bible said they was in heaven. And the angels was coming, and the enemy came with them, and he was coming to make acquisitions. Watch this. He says, "All right, you may test him." The Lord said to Satan, "Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically." So Satan was making accusations against Job. He was saying that, okay, Job was only serving you because he was blessed. So he said, take everything from him and see what he'll do. So God gave him the permission, and he said, do whatever you want, but don't harm him. So that tells us that God is really in control. See, God allowed a battle to take place. Let's continue to read. Verse 13, one day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting at the oldest brother's house, a messenger arrived at Job's home with this news. Your oxen were plowing with the donkeys feeding beside them. When the Sabaeans raided us, they stole all the animals and killed all the farmhands. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. Verse 16, while he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. Now, this is the second trial. The fire of God has fallen from heaven and burnt up your sheep and all the shepherds. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, a third messenger arrived with this news. Three bands of Chaldean raiders have stolen your camels and killed your servants. I am the only one escaped to tell you. Verse 18, while he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. Your sons and daughters were feasting in their older brother's home. Suddenly, a powerful wind swept in from the wilderness and hit the house on all sides. The house collapsed, and all your children are dead. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. My God. Look to you and say, my God. Back to back to back to back. Four times this man received news upon news upon news that was bad. But check this out. Watch how I respond. Verse 21. Verse 20. Job stood up and tore his robe in grief. Then he shaved his head and fell to the ground to worship. Then he said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. See, the man of God went through a lot of stuff. He heard about kids dying. He lost his animals. He lost his wealth. He lost all these things. But the Bible says he worshiped God. He continued to move forward in his walk with God. See, we have to understand the importance of why he responded that way. Because the enemy knows that the moment Job sinned and cursed God, the enemy was able to have access into his life. That's why we got to continue to move forward, church. That's why we got to continue to press in when times get hard, because we don't want to allow the enemy any access into our lives, into our minds, into our finances, so forth and so forth. Because when we do that, he is able to grip us and hinder us from continuing to be effective in building the kingdom of God. See, Job understood everything that was taken away from him came from God. See, everything we got belongs to God, our clothes, our house. Everything, the car we drive, even the job, everything comes from God. So Job understood that. He understood it didn't matter. It didn't belong to him no way. He understood that who was in control. So the question we got to ask ourselves, do we truly understand who's in control of our lives? If we understand that, I believe it will help us to continue to press in and move forward when times get hard. And it's not an easy thing to do. I mean, especially with this man going through all he went through, I think it's safe to say if he was able to move forward, we could do it. I don't think we're going to ever experience all these different type of trials, especially all at once in our life. You know, we may receive a death in the family or, you know, a loss of finances, but to lose all of this at all at once and to still worship God, it says a lot about the character of Job. It says why it's very important in our spare time that we study the word of God, that we learn the character of God for ourselves so we can know who God truly is through a personal relationship with him. But when we're not doing our part, when we're not studying God's word, when we're not getting familiar with who God is, it makes it kind of hard for us to respond like Job when times get hard. Now, this is not the first time that Job went through something. Let's continue to read in the next chapter, chapter 2. Because guess what? Satan is going to be, he's going to strike again. He's going to strike in another way. And once again, we're going to realize that God gave him the access to do so. So we got to understand that when trouble comes our way, God's still in control. And even if we go through the tough time, whatever we may go through, God allow it to happen for a certain reason. Job chapter 2, let's read verses 1 through 6. Amen. Make sure we got our notebooks open, that we're taking notes, that we're following along. Job chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, the Bible reads, "One day the members of the heavenly court came again to present them before the Lord, and the accuser, Satan," that word accuser means Satan in the Hebrew, "came with them. 'Where have you come from?' the Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, 'I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on.'" I like that when he asked him that. It's like he knew where he's going. It made me laugh when I first read this, but let's continue reading. "Then the Lord asked Satan, 'Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man on all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. And he has maintained his integrity, even though you urged me to harm him without cause.'" That's interesting. The Bible says he urged God. He provoked God to do that. Verse 4, "Satan replied to the Lord, 'Skin for skin.'" So now the enemy thinks, now if he attack his body, he's going to curse God. "A man will give up everything he has to save his life, but reach out and take away his health, and he will surely curse you to your face. All right, do with him as you please,' the Lord said to Satan, 'but spare his life.' So Satan left the Lord's presence, and he struck Job with terrible boils from head to foot." Now, like we just read in the first, now in the second chapter of the book of Job, we see God allowed what took place in his life to take place in his life. See, God allowed Satan to bring that trouble upon Job. Now, like I said, it may not really make any sense, you know, but we got to understand what God was trying to do through all that madness. See, Job went through a lot. He went through a lot, but nonetheless, he continued to serve God. He continued to remain in position. See, that's very important that we also understand that. Don't stop coming to church. Don't stop worshiping God. Don't start spreading your testimony about what Jesus Christ did in your life, because when we do that, we hinder the kingdom of God from being advanced within the city of Milwaukee. That's what the enemy wants to do. Job understood that, but this is something that we got to have predetermined way in advance. We got to make that decision long ago before the trouble comes, so when the trouble comes, we already know how to respond. Now, this story that we read, it starts in heaven. The Bible tells us God was in heaven, and members of the heavenly court came to God, and Satan was with them. Satan was bringing accusations, like I mentioned. He's an accuser, you know. That's why it's very important that we continue to keep our lives right with the Lord, because he didn't have anything on Job. Job was blameless, you know, but God still allowed things to happen. Job chapter 1, verse 8 through 11. Look at the accusations that he was making. Then the Lord asked Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil." Verse 9, Satan replied to the Lord, "Yes, but Job has good reason to fear God. You have always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You have made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is." Hold it there. So what he was saying was the only reason why he was serving God because he had it going on. So the enemy was saying that he don't really care about you. He's just doing it because he's gaining things from you. Now the Bible continues to read in verse 10. Verse 11. "But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." Verse 11. Now see what he was doing. He was making an accusation. You know, he does that to all of us. You know, he may be doing it right now. Man, he don't love you. She don't love you. They just going to church to get money or this and that. But though accusation don't mean anything if our lives is lined up with the word of God. Now, if we not lined up with the word of God, then the accusations, you know, it's a different story. That's why we got to make sure that we're living our lives right before the Lord, not just within the church, but outside the church of God. Because when we live right with God, we keep the enemy from entering into our lives. But when we're not doing our part, then the enemy is able to come in and have a foothold in our life, and he can hinder things in a major way. Now, let's look at the definition of trouble. The definition of trouble is this: the quality or state of being troubled, especially mentally, to agitate mentally or spiritually. So I think we got to understand that when it comes to trouble, the devil will mess with our minds, and we got to understand why he does that. Because the battlefield is on our minds. He knows that when our thinking is not right, he could get us to do things we should be doing. We got to understand that. He wants us to be mentally weak. That's why prayer is important, fasting, habit of reading the Word of God, fellowship, all those things is important. Even the physical, sleep, all that is important because he wants us to be weak in the mind so that when trouble comes, he could throw that dart and he could be effective in his in what he's trying to do to keep us, to get us from being effective in our walk with God. So that's why it's very important that we understand the importance of guarding our minds, guarding our lives, not allowing things to come into our minds. And we got to be watchful. And we got to really watch what we think and what's entering our minds. If we're not protecting our minds, you know, when the enemy comes, he could hinder us. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can't understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. We got to guard our minds. We got to watch what we're thinking. If we don't do it ourselves, God can't do it for us. We got to be intentional with guarding our minds and watching our thoughts. Now, that word guard means to watch over in order to protect or control. Protect against damage or harm. Another definition, a defense state or attitude. Now, it's our job as Christians to watch over to protect our mind, to protect our mind against danger. That's why what we watch on TV, the music we listen to, all those things is very important. Because if it's not in line with God's word, it can affect our mind, our thinking. You know, and we know the word guard is like something that you hear in boxing. And this is give an example, man. I like illustrations. Isaiah, stand up. You know, because I want to show us the importance of guarding our mind. So let's say we boxing in the ring, okay? You're gonna protect yourself, guard your face. So you're guarding his face, and see, I'm throwing a jab, and what he's doing is guarding his face. So what he's doing, he's protecting his face from being hit. And that's what we're supposed to do with the word of God, protect our minds from being attacked by the enemy. Now, keep your guards down this time and watch what happens. See? Bam. 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 He's not guarding his face, and what happens? I'm able to get in and hit him. So what I want to understand, thank you. Let's give Isaiah a hand. So what I'm trying to convey is that if we're not guarding our minds, the enemy has his way. He's able to enter in our mind, our thoughts. That's why we got to filter our mind with the word of God. That's our defense. That's how we're able to guard our mind. But like I said, if we like a boxer with no guards up, we're going to get beat up. We're going to get beat up mentally. So we got to really understand the importance of guarding our minds, especially when times get hard. Now, the second thing we can learn from trouble is that we got to stay in position. It's also very important. You know, a lot of times I got the great privilege to be a director of the home, and a lot of times men come into the home, they hear trouble, and instead of remaining in the house of God, they move forward. They move forward thinking that they're moving forward in God, but not realizing they're getting out of position. See, Job understood the best thing for him to do is to remain in position and continue to serve God. See, because trouble comes, and it comes in many ways, and it doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. It doesn't mean that God is able to give us victory even in through troubled times. See, that's something that we also got to realize. Just because it's trouble don't mean that God cannot turn that trouble around and bring forth a good thing. It tells us that in Romans. For those who love him, God is able to cause bad things to become good. So we got to understand the importance of remaining in position. There's too many Christians that times get hard and trouble comes. Instead of being in position, they're throwing a towel and start fighting the good fight, start running the good race. And that's not what God called us to do. See, God did everything he did through Jesus Christ to get us here in the house of God this morning. And it'd be a shame for us to let go of all of that just because some dumb stuff happened in our life. We cannot let trouble get us to a mental place where we don't believe that God is able to heal us, that he's able to protect us, that he's able to take care of what's going on in our lives. But we got to, once again, know the word of God. It can't just be head knowledge stored in our mind. We got to put God's word to use in our everyday life, even when times get hard. You can read the Bible through the Old to the New of many men and women that went through tough times. I'm just reading the book of Esther, and we all know the story. They was getting ready, all the Jews getting ready to get slaughtered. A troubled time, and she got together with all the people, and they fasted. She went before the king. And if you know anything about that, in those times, if you was going before the king, you could get killed doing that. And by her stepping out in faith, doing her part, remaining still, and moving forward, they got the victory. So we got to really understand the importance of being still. Too many times you want to take matters in our own hands, and we know we mess things up when we do that. Can I get an amen, church? I know I do. So ain't no sense in me even getting that thought. But times get hard, I'm staying focused. I'm not going, well, I don't like putting this matter into my own hands, knowing that I'm limited in my knowledge, limited in my understanding and power. I know God's in control. He created everything. So it don't make sense to me to even get a thought about leaving, doing things my way. But once again, it comes down to what we are actually falling within our lives. Psalms 46 verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world." See those key words, know that I am God. That's the thing. That's the key. We got to know who God is. See, when we know who God is, the thought of throwing in the towel won't even come. And if it do come, we'll reject it. We'll entertain it. Won't even come out of our mouth. Quit never came in my mouth. I'm leaving never came in my mouth. Because I know when times get hard, that's an opportunity for God to get his shine on. Now, the Hebrew word for still, raphai, means to sink down, relax, let go of. And this is what we got to do. When troubled times come, we got to learn how to simply stay put and let go and let God. Let him be the one that's make the moves and let him be in control. Because I guarantee you when we do that, we are able to receive the victory within our lives. So I want all of us to be effective as Christians within this end time world. And I believe you all want to be effective. Amen. I believe you don't want to be Christians that's just coming and going. I believe we all want to answer the calling of God. We all want to be effective in our daily life. And if that's the case, we got to learn how to continue to serve God even when troubled times get hard. Job set the example. It's a very powerful, powerful book. And as we're going to learn, we're going to learn that perseverance paid off in his life. And it's the same with all of us. When we continue to move forward, when we continue to come to church and serve God and put him first, and eventually it will pay off. You know, we go through a lot in our life, but to go through it in Christ, it's a blessing. You know, I thank God that I'm able now to respond in the right way when times get hard. And, you know, and like I say, it takes time to develop perseverance. I get it, you know. But be encouraged this morning. If you're going through something, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Continue to press in. I guarantee you will be blessed by it. You know, we're living in a world where many people are dying. They need to hear about the good news. They need to hear about what God done within our lives. And I think it blesses God when we continue to move forward when trouble time comes. You know, he sees that his children is not just going to serve him when times are good, but he sees that we're going to serve him when times get hard. You know, like I said, I understand troubled times come in all of our lives. Our pastor is a great example. You know, he goes through a lot. A lot of times we don't even realize he's going through a tough time, but he's developed this area of perseverance. He knows that he must continue to move forward no matter what. We was talking a while back, and he was saying that where he said, no matter what, I press in, I move forward. I don't stop. I go, go, go. Because he understands the importance of not stopping. That's what the enemy wants us to do, stop us dead in our tracks when trouble comes our way. He wants us to believe the trouble we face with is bigger than the God that we serve. When just like in the Job, it was a lot for some of us, but it's not bigger than the God we serve. A point Pastor Jamie gave me a long time ago, he was in a vet court, and he said that when times get hard, we should pray and ask God, is there something that he wants to learn from this trouble that we're going through? And I believe it's something that we should ask when trouble times come, pray. And ask God, what you want me to learn? How can I help someone else? What's going on? Not quit. Not throwing the towel. That's not the answer. Now, let's speak about four things we must do when trouble comes our way. And these are things that we got to be intentional with doing. Because the enemy's not going to sit back and let us do it. We got to intentionally set our minds and set our hearts to do these four things when trouble comes our way. And we got to actually do these four things before the trouble comes our way. We don't want to do it when trouble comes. When we do it beforehand, we prepare ourselves to face the trouble in the right way. Number one, the first thing we must do when trouble comes our way, we must remain still and keep our trust in God. Very, very important that we keep our trust in God, even through the most difficult times. Even when it seems like God is not present, we must remain still and keep God number one in our lives. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not," look to your neighbor and say, "do not depend on your own understanding. Verse 6, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." And God will show us which path to take even when times get hard. Very key to understand, we would not depend on our own understanding. As humans, our understanding is very, very limited. His understanding is unlimited. So that's why it's very important that we seek him when times get hard and put our trust in him. And I have here in my notes, we can't at no point in our walk with God lean on our own understanding, which is very limited. Trusting in God during hard times and being still is our best move. Because we got to remind ourselves at times when trouble comes, BC. We know when trouble comes, but we did with our own understanding. It made things worse. So now in Christ, why would we want to continue to lean on our own understanding when we know where that got us in the past? The best move is to seek God, to move forward, to continue to trust him with all our heart. And I guarantee you when we do that, God will see us through any trouble we face in our lives. The second thing we must do when trouble comes our way, we must check our thoughts and keep them lined up with God's word. Because I remember Pastor Lee gave a message a while back, and he was giving statistics about thoughts and how many thoughts come in our mind. So many thoughts come in our mind on a daily basis. And we got to understand, we got to learn what thoughts to entertain and what not. We got to make sure that what we're thinking is lined up with God's word. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. It reads, "So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control." We got to prepare our mind because action is going to come. "Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that comes to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world." Very powerful portion of scripture. It tells us to prepare our minds, to prepare our minds to think God's way. To prepare our minds not to entertain those fiery darts of the enemy. To prepare our minds to reject those lies, that deception that the enemy brings upon our minds. We got to prepare ourselves every day through prayer, through reading and meditating on God's word, through worship. By doing that, when the enemy comes, we'll be able to counterattack it. We are able to respond in the right way. In my notes I have here, we must make sure we are preparing our thoughts to be ready to counterattack the thoughts of the enemy when trouble comes our way. And I believe when we prepare our minds, we are able to face the trouble in the right way. That's the whole point. The enemy wants to weigh our minds down so heavy because he wants to catch us slipping. You know, he thought he was able to catch Job slipping. God told him he was blameless, but yet he thought if you take away his finances and take away his health, he was going to curse you. And as we saw, the man of God continued to serve God. But I believe he was doing all this. He prepared his mind. He made sure that he be still. He made sure he trusted in God. He made sure he do all that he was supposed to do. So when that trouble came his way, he's going to be able to say, "I'm going to continue to worship God. I was going to continue to move forward." But he wasn't able to do it, I really believe, if he didn't prepare in advance. That's why prayer and word, that's why all those things is so important and vital as Christians. That's why we cannot just pray every so often or drive-bys or read the word when we want to. It got to be a daily habit. It's preparing you and I to be spiritually ready for the attacks of the enemy. Number three, the third thing we must do when trouble comes our way, we must look to meet the needs of others. Now, see, this is a cutting-edge mentality. See, a lot of times when trouble comes our way, we want to do the opposite. We want to shut down. We want to look out. We're only looking out for ourselves. Poor me, poor me, poor me. But a mature Christian, when times get hard, goes and meet the need of someone else. Because if a person is not saved, they are far more worse off than you and I. being saved and going through trouble. We got to understand that. So we got to get to a place when trouble comes, look to share your testimony with a family member that's not saved, or a neighbor or a loved one. Go out your way to bless someone with groceries. Take someone to the store. But we must look to meet the needs of others. And by doing it, that take our focus off what we're going through and place it on the needs of others. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, it reads, don't be selfish. We all know, I include myself, I can be selfish at times. Come on, somebody, you got to be careful. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. This is my prayer of my life. Help me not to just think about myself, but look out for the interests of others. And like I mentioned, I have in my notes, we must take our minds off of what we're going through and place our minds to meet the needs of the lost and bound. That's what we're going to do later on, hit the streets and put our mindset on them, letting them know that they can find a way out of their situation through a relationship with Jesus Christ. But a lot of times when we're not doing our part and we allow the enemy to weigh our mind down with that garbage, with that trouble, we're not going to meet the needs of someone else. And by doing that, a lot of souls, they're not going to get hurt. They're not going to hear the gospel. We could lose people to the kingdom of darkness for our eternity because we not doing our part and not taking our minds off what's taking place. See, Job set the example. He showed us. He continued to worship God. You know, even though he had his wife telling him, why you should curse God, and now he had the counsel from his friends that was incorrect, he continued to move forward. So I believe when we do this third thing, it will help us to continue to move forward when times get hard. And the fourth thing we must do when trouble times come, we must stay connected with the body of Christ. No long range of stuff. We are family. We are body of believers that we all need one another. Too many of us is trying to tackle this life but just by ourselves, keeping things to ourselves. Keeping things bottled up instead of coming to a brother in Christ, a sister in Christ, and letting them know what's going on. And by doing that, we are able to get power, we are able to get wisdom and guidance for our lives. But when we go through tough times, when we don't stay connected, when we don't come to church, when we don't go to our pastors and a trusted leader in the church, we allow the enemy to have a foothold in our lives. Ecclesiastes, I always say that book wrong. Chapter 4, verse 9 and 12. The Bible reads, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person fails, the other can reach out and help. But if someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. This is a very powerful scripture. It's teaching us that by ourselves, we can't do it alone. We need help. We need one another as a body. We need one another to help us to be strong, to encourage one another, to push one another, to move forward. But when we don't do our part, when times get hard, it's kind of hard to really move forward when we're not coming together and getting that strength and guidance that we need. In my notes, I have it says, when we come together, when trouble comes our way, we can help each other get through the tough times together. Ain't it better to go through a tough time together with a brother or sister in Christ versus alone? You know, you got someone you could talk to. You got a pastor. He's a man after God's own heart, our spiritual mother. She's a woman after God's own heart. They're here for us. They want to counsel. They want to lead. They want to speak into our lives. But we got to be open for that. We got to be teachable. And we got to allow that to happen in our lives. And when trouble comes, when we do our part, we're able to make the right decisions. That's what God wants for you and I. He don't want us to make the wrong decisions. And a lot of times when trouble comes, instead of doing the right thing, oftentimes we do the wrong thing. And it gets us to going backwards. I believe that's why a lot of people backslide. Because troubled times come, and instead of them doing what Job did, they go do the opposite, and they find themselves back out there in darkness. That's why it's very important that we apply the Word of God and allow the Word of God to be what we live by and live by alone. not by our feelings, not by emotions, not by our perspective. That's not in line with God's word, but the word of God alone. Because do we believe that this word is truth? The word of God is truth. My opinion ain't truth. My word ain't true, but his word is true. And that's what we should live our lives by. And a little story about perseverance. This is a powerful story. Speaking about a man that invented something, he was getting turned down, you know, and this story is powerful. It teaches us the importance of persevering, not giving up, not allowing negative things to keep us from fulfilling our vision and dreams that God has for our lives. Check this out. Jack Canfield is the creator of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. Y'all, I'm pretty sure we all heard about the Chicken Soup for the Soul. He's also one of the best motivational speakers, professional coaches, and an incredible, inspiring author who published The Success Principles. Jack and his co-author, Mark Victor Hansen, pitched the original Chicken Soup for the Soul to over 130 different publishers. Wow, that's a lot. But none of them were interested and said no one wants to read 100 inspirational stories. They got rejected by 130 different publishers. But watch this. After 100-plus pitches, their agent dropped them as well. But they were determined to get the book published. Luckily, they never gave up. See, that's the key. To never, never, never give up when times get hard. And they continued to persevere until their book was picked up by a small publisher in Florida. Now there are over 250 Chicken Soup for the Soul books and over 500 million copies sold worldwide. Wow. If they had given up, these inspirational stories wouldn't have been read across the world, and they wouldn't have made millions of dollars. See, this is important. That's why perseverance is so important. Because if we give up when times get hard, we may not fulfill the vision that God has for our life. We may not see our loved ones run to the kingdom of God. We may not see what God wants to do in and through our lives take place. And just like this story, they were rejected by 130 different publishers. But they still moved forward. They didn't give up. See, it's evidence when we don't give up and we determine to move forward no matter what we take place, no matter what rejection, no matter what trouble, no matter what comes forth, we will receive blessings from it. This is a good lesson for us to learn. Perseverance really pays off. And Job understood that as well. So I want us to really understand when times get hard, move forward, my friend. Don't stop. Don't stop coming to church. Don't stop giving. Don't stop worshiping God. Continue to press in and move forward. Job chapter 42, verse 12 through 17. Now we're going to read the results of Job's perseverance taking place within his life. Job chapter 42, verse 12 through 17. The Bible reads, so the Lord blesses Job in the second half of his life, even more than in the beginning. For now he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 teams of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also gave Job 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. He named his first daughter Jeremiah, the second Keziah, and the third Kiran. Had put in all the land, no women were as lovely as the daughters of Job, and their father put them into his will along with their brothers. Job lived 140 years after that, living to see 4 generations of his children and grandchildren. Then he died an old man who had lived a long, filled life. Perseverance pays off. He stayed focused. He continued to press in. He continued to put God first, and as a result, he got more than he had before he lost everything he has. So we got to understand, church, no matter what we go through in our life, we got to look at the devil and say, you know what, devil? And no matter what trouble I go through, and no matter what I may be faced with, I'm going to move forward, and I'm going to continue to persevere in my walk with God. Is there anybody in the church this morning that's going to say, I'm going to persevere? We got to have that in our spirit, because it does pays off. But when we don't persevere, when we don't do our part, it stops God from moving in our lives. See, Job went through all that. He had his wife, like I mentioned, tell him to curse God and die. His friends was telling him, you must have been in sin. And God rebuked his friends. He rebuked Job, and he continued to move forward, and he got hooked up. So just know, when we persevere and move forward, there's something on the other side for you and I. Closing scripture, Galatians 6:9. As the keeper makes his way, as the keyboard player makes his way, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. So we go through all that we go through in our life. Troubled times come. We faced with a hard time. And this scripture, I believe, is something that we should grab a hold of, because this is an encouraging scripture to know. When we do this, God's going to do his part. Galatians 6:9 says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. Even when times get hard, serving God is still good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. See, that's the key. Don't give up. Look to your neighbor and say, don't give up. Say it again. Don't give up. Keep saying it. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up, my friend. The trial is temporary. It's temporary. It's not forever. We will reap a harvest. God proved that with Job. He proved it in the story with Jack Canfield. And he proved it in the life of others as well, throughout the Bible, even with our own senior pastors. We got to understand, troubled times doesn't mean that we should stop serving God. It doesn't mean that God's not on the throne. And it definitely don't mean that the devil's in control, because God proved that through the book of Job, that Satan was allowed to bring that to pass. God gave him that permission, which means God's in control. We got to believe that. In my closing note, I have here, the key to surviving the hard times we will face is to simply persevere and never give up. And just like Job, our perseverance will pay off. As we stand to our feet this morning, we got to allow God to be in control, church. We cannot allow troubled times to take us from the presence of God. That's the worst thing that we could do. I know for myself, I need the presence of God in my life. I know that God has a call upon my life. I know that my family members are going to be saved, and I got to press in when times get hard. But we got to have that determined in our mind way in advance. We got to have that determined, church. We got to be just like Job. Worship God. Continue to serve God. Even when negative things come our way, even when our family members and loved ones are telling us, why are you still going to church? Why are you still serving God when times get hard? We got to have that spirit. We got to have that within our hearts that says, you know what? I'm going to serve God no matter what's taking place. If the finances are not right, if the kids not right, if the marriage not right, if there's death, whatever the case may be, I'm going to continue to serve God. I want to open up the altar this morning. Now, I believe some of us this morning, you may have quit at one point in time. You may be thinking about throwing in the towel because you may be going through a difficult time. I want to let you know that God loves you, that he still is on the throne, and that no matter what's taking place, continue to serve him. Continue to trust that he's going to see you through your troubled time this morning. Those who log on, let's join us as well as we spend time at these altars. Wherever you at, make that your altar. I want to open up these altars. And if you say, you know what, you want to be that person just like Job, that's going to press in, that's going to persevere, I want you to spend time and cry out to the Lord and make that commitment this morning. Be committed. We're living in the end times. Serving God is by far the greatest thing we could ever do. As we cry out to God, let's make that commitment this morning that we're going to stay committed to serving God even when troubled times get hard. Right there where you at, just cry out to the Lord this morning and commit to him that you're going to persevere just like Job when trouble time comes your way, that you're not going to give up. You're not going to throw in the towel. You're not going to allow the enemy that's defeated to take control. Commit that to God this morning, church, so we can help our pastors build and take this city for God's honor and glory, so we can pack out this church, so we can pack out the victory homes. God is looking for men and women and young adults that's going to persevere, that's going to press in, that's not going to give up, that's not going to throw in the towel. God is looking to raise up a soldier, a group of people that's going to take our stand. Let's be committed, church, as you cry out to the Lord this morning.
Oh, my.